What's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 84 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of the Sporting News, Athletic, Bet Chicago, Cubs Insider, and the Cloud City Chronicle. I'm bringing you a extra fun Cubs victory podcast. Before we get into that, my apologies for missing the podcast yesterday. I had apparently, I found out, a neighbor who went and did some digging in their backyard for some reason and put their shovel or whatever straight through the cord that connects my internet. So I lost internet for about, about 24 to 30 hours. And I'm sure, as you can imagine, in modern 21st century, 2018, losing internet for 24 to 30 hours is a pretty frustrating thing to happen, but especially for somebody who works from home and relies on, recording podcasts via the internet or all the other things that you do on the internet that I do. It was a frustrating day, but I've been playing catch up ever since. So I'm recording this podcast a little after 12 a.m., I guess Thursday morning following that Cubs victory, but that's okay. We'll just power right through and talk about a really satisfying win for the Cubs. They won a weirdly improbable game Wednesday night. Two massive home run streaks coming to an end. Two massive homerless streaks coming to an end. One big blast that won the game. Let's start out with this. Jose Quintana pitched well, but Joe Maddon elected to pull him at 91 pitches with two outs in the sixth after an infield single put runners on first and second with two outs. Steve Cishek came into the game and allowed a home run to Aaron Alther on his very first pitch of the game, and that tied things up at 3-3. That was improbable in its own because Cishek had not allowed a home run all year, and I think July 17th last year, July 16th, that he allowed his last home run. It stayed tied at three until Brandon Morrow came in the top of the ninth, and he allowed Dylan Cousins' first career home run for the Phillies, and that broke a streak of 71 innings for Morrow not allowing a home run. That takes us back to September of 2016. So very improbable stuff. Things that you're just like, I can't believe that just happened. Happened twice to the Cubs in, two of their very good pitchers for the bullpen this year, and that made it 5-3 for the Phillies. But the Cubs would pull off a walk-off win in the bottom of the ninth inning, and that would be their first such victory this season. The bases were loaded for Jason Hayward with two outs against a left-handed reliever, and Hayward got around on a 97-mile-an-hour fastball from the lefty Adam Morgan, and this one was a no-doubter. Right off the bat, it was an obvious home run. Grand slam, Jason Hayward. Cubs win 7-5. I don't even know what to say about this. When I was watching it, I was watching it on TV. The swing and the ball off the bat looked like a home run trajectory-wise. The sound off the bat sounded like he got all of it and it was going to be a home run. But because of everything we've seen with Hayward and all the times that we've seen him really get a charge into one and then just see it die at the warning track this year, it was hard to believe it until you saw the ball get into the bleachers. And so I kind of held my breath watching the ball land, 10 rows up into the bleachers because it was so hard to believe. Hayward has hit the ball harder this year and in the air more often this year. And there have been times where he's hit it, to the wrong part of the ballpark, or he hits it 385 feet and it gets caught, or, great launch angle and a great mile per hour off the bat, but it ends up being an out. It's really interesting. There's some numbers that I'll get into in the second segment that we'll talk about. But Hayward has been a much better hitter than even his own stat line would tell you. The final of the three-game set is Thursday. Tyler Chatwood will go to the mound for the Cubs against Nick Pivetta. The game will be at 1:20 p.m. on NBC Sports Chicago, and the winner will take 2 of 3 in this series. Let's go ahead and go to that second segment and talk a little bit more in depth about Jason Hayward. So the talk of this one is Hayward's Grand Slam, which is, like I've said before, the most improbable outcome possible. Nobody thought Hayward was going to hit a Grand Slam off Adam Morgan in that moment. You were just hoping maybe he'd hit the ball hard for a base hit somewhere, or a little blooper into the, you know, the correct spot in the outfield, maybe score two runs, get the game tied, go to extra innings. That was really the big thing that I think most fans were hoping for in that moment. The Grand Slam took everybody by surprise. It was Hayward's third home run of the season and his first off a lefty in almost a full calendar year. He hit one off Josh Smoker of the Mets last year. So I want to talk briefly about how Hayward has been different as a hitter, but I also want to pat myself on the back for a moment. One of the first things that I talked about on the opening day podcast, if you can remember that far back, I recorded it with Michael Cerami of Bleacher Nation, and we chatted about how Jason Hayward just looked like he was getting better swings. It was early, but he actually put a charge into the ball like he hadn't been doing in previous years. We talked about, you know, I think he'd hit a double in that game that was nice, but then he also had an even more impressive hit right off the bat that ended up being an out, one of those kind of like 100-mile-an-hour strikes off the bat that went 390 feet but was caught in right center field. So that was the kind of thing that we were seeing on opening day that just seemed like it was better. And, you know, it hasn't been as great for him in the middle of the year. He had that stint on the concussion DL, and just before that his stats really dropped off. But overall, Jason Hayward has been a different hitter in 2018 than he was last year and that he was in 2016. So here are the numbers. Since coming off the DL, Hayward is hitting .321 with a .350 on base, a .482 slugging, and 60 plate appearances. On the season, his line has been raised to .261 batting, .327 on base, .392 slugging with a 96 WRC plus, so just below average as a major league hitter on the overall season. That's not the most impressive, but I think anyone comparing to his previous 2 years would be relatively happy with those numbers. And those 10 games prior to him going on the DL really hurt him statistically. So obviously everyone's going to have stretches like that, so you can't just subtract those 10 games out. But if you did, you would be seeing a different picture of Jason Hayward as a hitter this year. The real key takeaways, though, are these numbers. Hayward's hard hit percentage is 31.6%, which is above his career average and his highest since he hit 27 home runs in 2012 for the Braves. His fly ball rate is the highest of his career at 42.4%. His ground ball rate is his lowest ever at 40.2%. In 2017, his ground ball rate was 47%. In 2016, it was 46%. And in 2015 with the Cardinals, he had a 57% ground ball rate and yet somehow hit .293. I think maybe the answer to that question is Cardinal devil magic. Jason Hayward's batting average on balls in play could still go up. As of today, it's .278, which is on the lower side of average, maybe just a little bit below average. From 2012 to 2015, Hayward sported a batting average well over .300. So for him to get back up over .300 or close to .300 would not be inappropriate considering how hard he's hitting the ball and the fact that he's hitting more balls in the air than on the ground. Hayward probably won't hit .300 with a .350 on base and a .480 slugging over the remainder of the season. But you can see how different this team is when he's contributing offensively. It's nice to not have to cringe seeing Hayward batting against a left-hander during a game, or really any pitcher in the ninth inning of a close game. If he can improve his current slash line even just slightly, giving the Cubs something like .265 with a .340 on base and a .420 slugging, that gets him to a .760 OPS, and that is extremely okay with me from Jason Hayward if he gets there. That would be an above-average offensive season. It's not going to prompt him to opt out of that massive contract, and really nothing should. There's no second half of this season that that Jason Hayward could possibly reasonably have, that any player could reasonably have, and then prompt him to opt out of that deal. Let me rephrase that to be very clear. Jason Hayward could have a Mike Trout second half of this season, and he would be foolish to opt out of his deal at that point, because the track record of him doing it would be so small, and no team is going to be able to go out there and justify throwing the kind of money that he has left on his contract at him. There's no chance that that would work out positively for him. So if anyone's hoping that a Jason Hayward turnaround means he might opt out of his deal, let go. It's not happening. But as for his grand slam, you can imagine how good that had to feel for him. Hayward is the kind of guy who likes to spout a whole lot of team first cliches about, everything's about getting the win, and understandable, he's just that kind of guy. That's sincere for him. But you also know that he's a hardworking, competitive guy, and his diminishing skills over the last two seasons, it just has to absolutely be killing him. Jason Hayward no doubt went to sleep last night with a big smile on his face. And the rest of the Cubs did as well, I'm sure. That was their first walk-off win of the 2018 season, believe it or not. And spoiler alert for the next segment, the win made the Cubs the best team in the National League in one very key category. Let's go ahead and go to that final segment. We can talk about it. Final segment around the NL Central. There was good news for the Cubs outside of their own victory on Wednesday. The Milwaukee Brewers lost to the Cleveland Indians 3-1. Carlos Carrasco went 7 innings and struck out 10 batters for Cleveland. The St. Louis Cardinals got trounced by the Miami Marlins 11-3. Jack Flaherty allowed 4 earned runs in 5 innings for the Cardinals, who committed 3 errors as a team. Lewis Brinson hit 2 home runs on the evening for Miami, and his second one came off Jed Jerko in the 9th inning. Yes, you heard that correctly. Jed Jerko. The Pittsburgh Pirates held on to a slim 11-9 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers, while the Cincinnati Reds lost to the Colorado Rockies 6-3. So here are the updated NL Central standings heading into play on Thursday. The Brewers remain in first place at 37-25, but now have just a 1-game lead in the division. The Cubs have the fewest losses of any team in the National League, now at 34-24. The Cardinals remain at 3.5 games out of first place at 32-27. The Pirates crawled back over 500, now 31-30 and 5.5 games out. And the Reds remain 16 games out at 21-41. So I think you probably caught that. The key stat that I talked about, the Cubs have the fewest losses of any team in the National League. Now they're 34-24, so that's a season high, 10 games over 500. They're in position to take two out of three with the Phillies in this series if they can win today at 120. Tyler Chatwood's on the mound, so you know it's always a cross your fingers that you aren't getting 17 walks out of him today. But the Cubs have been in a good position considering that they have the lowest ERA in the National League. They've scored, I think, the most runs. They've just been playing really well lately. It's been much more consistent. They've been pulling out victories in games when they definitely would have lost early in the season. It's just been a lot more fun to watch lately. So I feel like the Cubs are at that point where they're going to overtake first place soon and hopefully hang on to it through the rest of the year and kind of cruise to an NL Central title. I don't necessarily think it'll be easy. I feel like they'll probably win the division by about the same margin as they did last year. But the hope is that maybe they can build up a little bit of a lead early and just kind of sustain that lead and then be able to rest guys down the stretch and not have to be pushing everyone to their max to the end of the year and then getting into the NLCS and just being visibly exhausted like they were last year. Thanks again for listening, guys. This has been Ryan Davis with episode 84 of Locked On Cubs, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which brings you daily content. Check out the other podcasts if you haven't already. Any other sports teams you're interested in, Locked On has been expanding to baseball lately, but they're also doing NBA and NFL, so give that a look. Thanks again for listening. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.